We're back with another episode of Women Winning at Work with Becca Herman. And today I have a self-made business owner, Amit Kabra, and she owns her own agency. And I am very excited to speak to her. Not only is she a techie, but she's also an entrepreneur. So welcome, Amit. And I would love for you to introduce yourself in your own words.
Yeah, thank you so much. So my name is Amit. I have been in the pay-per-click advertising industry game, whatever you want to call it, for over 13 years now. So I got started at 19. It's just a weird series of events for me, really, at this point, where I went to school for business administration with a minor in entrepreneurial leadership, because I think I always knew that I was going to run a business. Even in high school, like, all my friends were like, you're going to own a McDonald's and then just keep on taking over the world in some way. And I was like, yeah, probably. I could see that. So eventually when I went to school, it was kind of a no-brainer. And then I ended up in macro and microeconomics and absolutely hated those classes. And then I sat there and I was like, I have to take the advanced ones now. And I'm like, that's not happening. I was like, I'm done, not doing it. So then I quickly looked at the credits that I did have and which ones would transfer over to a different program. And marketing was like basic. I think there was one class that didn't transfer. And I was like, yep, we're going to marketing now. Barely knew what marketing was really at that point, if you really think about it, or if I think about it, actually. And I just like fell into it and then started taking classes. And then suddenly one day we're in the computer lab and we have one class, like a 3-hour class, marketing. So he's going over email, content, social, websites, Google Ads, analytics, like everything in this 3-hour class. And I don't know what it was about Google Ads and analytics that sparked some kind of interest, but I just remember thinking about the certification programs. Mm. And I remember just, I don't know what the allure was. I kind of just kept it and wrote it down and went, get this done, but never actually went and did it. And then a couple months down the road, I actually started my first company at 19 in event planning. So then I was like, let's try these Google Ad things and see what happens. And obviously at that point, it was super not competitive, didn't really have to do anything. Well, I mean, you had to do stuff, but you didn't have to be like as meticulous as we have to be now. And it turned out that I was actually pretty decent at them. So 3 years later, I closed up shop, said, screw event planning, I hate it. And then decided to pursue Google. And basically overnight, I went from spending like $250 a month, which was my own money, to $4.3 million annually. It was a steep learning curve. And I was managing like 60 some odd accounts as well, which is basically the job of 2 to 3 people, on top of reporting and just meeting clients and stuff like that. But I got to live like the coolest life. Like, Google flew me out to Silicon Valley at one point. I was part of their ambassador program, so they used to send me like gifts on gifts on gifts. At one point when I was moving out, I had like 30 notebooks. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with these? Like, and like 10 backpacks and like, I think 100 mugs. And thankfully one of my friends was an HR specialist. So he's like, I can just take them to the office and then everybody who's coming in can just take a mug. And I'm like, please take them. I don't need this many. And now they don't do that anymore. So I kind of like miss it. I'm like, damn, I really should have enjoyed it. So then eventually I was working at places, ended up in an agency because I wanted to really like round up my skill set. And then somewhere down the line, I started freelancing, and that somehow snowballed into the agency that I have now.
That's fantastic. So, you know, usually I would ask you for your origin story, but you kind of jumped into it, which is fantastic. I love it. But I'd still want to go a little further back and say, okay, so when you were the 5-year-old Amit, were you thinking about opening a business also? Was it still McDonald's or maybe an ice cream shop? What was that like?
When I look back at life now, I could see those little moments of it happening. Cause like, I was the one who wrangled all the kids on the street and I was like, let's go and try to sell cookies door to door. And like the store bought ones too, not even like anything that we're actually trying to like bake ourselves and like sit there and be like, yeah, we deserve this money. I was just like, literally, I'm like, let's go. And then we would just go to neighbor and they would give us like a couple cents and we're like, yay, this is amazing. And even like a lemonade stand and trying to help my friends out on that front. So I'd always, there was always something here and there. But there it was never really like a clear vision of that until maybe the latter half of high school, grade 11, grade 12, where I was like, maybe. And even there, it was never really like an actual thought. I didn't really know what I was going to do with my life in high school. I mean, what 16-year-old really does, if you think about it. But like when I was younger, all I wanted to do was, I don't know. I don't know what I wanted to grow up to be, actually. I just remember like in high school, I wrote it as a joke where I wanted to become an international spy. And that's what I wrote on my card. Cause I was like, I have literally no idea. They actually allowed me to do that too, which was a funny thing. So like my soccer coach, like read it. They didn't know who the students were who were writing everything. They just had to approve and disapprove. And I remember her looking at me when she saw it, that I was the one who written it. And she was like, yeah, it sounded like you. And she was like, we couldn't allow for it to be like completely outright international spy, but they did like a version of it for me. And I was like, that was very sweet of you. I'm like, I appreciate it. And then the card in like our actual certificate actually said international spy. So I was like, I love you, Miss Wilkie. Like, you're the best. Like, you just knew it in your gut. It was me and you just let it go. But I don't think I ever knew this was it. I think I always had like little moments of like seeing it. But I don't think I ever actually in my gut was like, yeah, I'm going to run a business one day.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. So not only is it okay to be not a technical, and, you know, you can tell I'm Indian and you seem like you're from that part of the country, of the world. Not only is it okay to not get a engineering degree or a medical degree as a woman, but it's also okay to not know what you want to be when you grow up and still succeed. So that's a great message that I take from your story. Thank you for that. But I'd love to hear from you, like, what was some of the challenges that you faced as you were growing up at 19, starting a business of your own? What are some of the challenges as a woman, you know, in this space, or was it all, you know, it's all neutral for you?
No, I think, like, I've definitely got laughed at quite a bit for just even attempting. At 19, I was the youngest organizer in the space. I was the only one who was female that was leading the team. My entire team was 19 or younger, too. That was not heard of at that point. But slowly afterwards, a lot of people started going, well, if she can do it, then I can. And then it kind of led this whole movement, which was really nice to see. And I don't know how it actually really panned out later in life, because I kind of left, I left it and went, I'm not coming back. I'm not doing this ever again. But you definitely saw like a lot of the misogyny really in that industry, where it was just like a lot of just men going laughing and just going, this is an idiot idea. This is stupid. This is that. And I remember just sitting there, and I remember even like I had been in organizing before, but with like another organization. And I remember they had said it to me where they're like, you can't do it. And I was like, I'll show you how. And at that point I did the entire thing by myself. Volunteers were literally just on the day of, cause I can't manage the entire thing by myself. So not only was I female and incredibly younger than most of these people, I did it by myself, literally going to school in the morning, going to work, and then doing this at like 2 o'clock in the morning just to make sure everything was done. And then even going into agency and stuff like that, it was kind of the same as well. Just a lot of people just sitting there going, I don't think you can do it. And I was like, yeah. And I love those words coming out of your mouth, because I'm going to prove you otherwise. So most of it, unfortunately, were men. But it is what it is. At the end of the day, they didn't stop me. So
that's kind of funny, because you have different personalities respond to these things differently. I happen to be one of those that, you know, if you want me to do something, tell me I can't, and I'll probably do it. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a fuel to my fire. But I know of a lot of women who would be sort of, you know, stopped by it. And especially sometimes it's who says it that matters too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends. Like, I always got challenged by a lot of people, but my family had my back. And so I found that to be my source of power. So, but pivoting, I'd love to hear Well, first of all, I'd love to hear, you know, who supported you, but also what is one of the most rewarding part of being a young 19-year-old young woman, breaking barriers, creating businesses, doing stuff? What's the most rewarding part?
Oh, gosh, I feel like there's so many. One of the bigger things that I've always kind of said to a couple of my friends is the notion of making history in some way. Yeah. And I think in little doses, I have, not necessarily in the grander scheme of things where people will remember this, but at least I know I did it. And I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things about it, is just knowing that in some way I made history. I did something first when it was incredibly scary for a lot of other people to do it, that somehow I was the person who was able to push through. And I think that's something to be incredibly proud of, even though I don't really remember it most days. And then also, I think with the agency side of things, it's really just the messages that I get on, like, it's not a day-to-day basis, but maybe weekly, where it's more women that are reaching out going, I've started this career, I need help, or whatever. And it's just really nice to see just younger girls sit there, or even older women will sit there and be like, I want to be you when I grow up. And I was like, no, please don't. I'm a train wreck. I said, don't be me. But it's incredibly meaningful. And at one point I actually had somebody who was in the same space as myself. And then she dropped off the face of the planet, and 6 months later came back and messaged me. And she was like, you're the reason why I changed my career. Because she's like, I sat there and I looked at it and went, she's so in love with ads and I'm not. So she's like, obviously this is not for me. And she's like, you were the reason why I sat there and reevaluated everything to be like, okay, maybe this isn't it. Maybe I need to be doing something else in marketing. And now I think she's fully focused on content. I can't quite remember. Nice. And she's absolutely in love with it. And it was such a meaningful message for me, because I was like, if anything, like, yeah, I want people to be in love with ads. That's my whole purpose, I think, in life, is just to make people like super excited about ads. But if I could help you somehow find out what's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You can't really describe that feeling.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful and inspiring. Yeah. If anybody walks away listening to this episode with just that message, it'll be worth it. Thank you.
I hope so. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's kind of funny me asking you this, but you started at 19, but if you were to give your younger self, and I don't know what that age that would be, maybe 16, maybe not, maybe 19, what would you say? What kind of advice would you have for yourself?
Oh, God, I think prioritizing mental health is a big one. I don't think that happens enough. And like 6 years, maybe even longer than that at this point, I was diagnosed with severe anxiety and depression. And up until recently, I never really took it seriously. I've never bothered doing anything in terms of like actually protecting my mental health. And it shows. It like definitely shows over the last 6 years. You can see it, where there's a lot of highs, there's a lot of lows, and where I would love to be is somewhere in the middle with a couple highs and coming back into the middle, not so down. I think that would be like the biggest thing, is just making sure you just stay proactive versus reactive on a lot of things. And it's expressed like especially topical right now, because I think it's about a month away from Mental Health Day. And it's just kind of funny, because I was answering questions for a couple articles just like right before we came onto this. And so it's like super fresh in my mind, where it's just like taking my daily walks every morning and making sure that I listen to the music and journal and spend time with my dogs and my friends and my family multiple times a week. It's incredibly important, because life as a business owner is so isolating that isolating yourself even further on the social aspect is only going to make you go deeper into that hole. And I unfortunately have done it one too many times. So now I make sure that I do these routine things and see a therapist twice a month, and just making sure that I'm always at the forefront versus being the last one in the back. And I mean, even saying that I'm at the priority is kind of a lie, because I definitely am not, but like I'm moving up the list at the very least, right? So I think that would be the piece of advice. I wish I just did it from 19 forward, and I think I'd be in a lot better position in terms of my mental state and maybe even my business if I had.
Wow, what a powerful message. And so, yeah, no, thank you. That's so important because I think that I've been part of nonprofit and mentoring from a very young age. I started mentoring middle schoolers because I think that's when girls go from being super competitive and happy to self-criticism is the middle school age.
It is because we've got social media now that's just making things even worse. Like I got lucky. I got out at like just the right time. Like Facebook was just becoming a thing. And it's kind of funny for a marketer. I'm like the last one to join anything. I will like out of protest will not join anything. Like even Instagram, TikTok, I'm still not, I won't do it. Twitter was something that I just started doing like maybe 2 years ago. I just sat there and I was like, why consume this information and not bother with it or like let it just weigh you down? And now because it's so part of like our North American culture, I guess, because I don't think it's as bad in European countries because they really do have a nice, healthy life, work-life balance out there. Yeah. But here it's so much worse because now everybody is taught that they have to look a particular way. They have to do these particular things. So I feel like a lot of kids now are just kind of in this place where they don't really know what's next, which I mean, all of us went through that, but like they just have this added pressure of watching these other kids on TikTok making millions of dollars just simply dancing. And they're like, well, yeah. I'm not a dancer and I don't find joy in dancing. How am I supposed to make 5 million a year now? So now what I worry about is just finding like having people actually wanting to fill out those other roles that don't pay 5 million a year. Like, are we going to have accountants next in like the next 30 years? Or is that going to slowly drip off? Like, especially with the pandemic that just happened, like nurses are leaving in droves. Yeah. And there's a real concern that we might not have healthcare providers in a very near future. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm just sitting there going, okay, well, like, how do we combat that by telling them that, you know, sometimes your brain is actually your best asset. And I firmly believe that your brain is your best asset. Like, I love the way that my mind works. It's fascinating and it makes me laugh all the time. But had I known that when I was growing up, maybe I would have focused on more schoolwork and less about what I was wearing and how much I weighed and did I do my eyebrows that week and all of that random stuff that really actually doesn't matter as much.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's so true. That's really prescient of you. And especially you being in the marketing space, the insights must be much deeper than because you experiment with it, you play with it, you see it. Yeah. What kind of advice would you have for young girls who want to follow in your footsteps, the ones that are not on TikTok dancing? You know, that want to get into this. And, you know, I know you're not a comp sci major or you didn't have a career in this, but still you're in a very technical space, you know, Google ads, all this stuff, social media marketing, all that stuff is very technical. And it's, as you mentioned earlier, it's not as easy as it used to be when you got in. So what kind of advice would you have for those young women?
I think if you have a genuine interest in advertising, especially on the digital end of things, learning as much as you possibly can, obviously, is the biggest one, but also asking questions. The way that I was able to carve out a name for myself as quickly as I was able to was because I wasn't afraid to ask the dumb questions. But also, yeah. I went ahead and tried multiple things before I actually went in and asked those questions. So it was like one of those moments where there had been somebody, his name was Eric. I remember him like it was yesterday. And he had been in the industry for maybe about 5-6 years or something, maybe even 10 at that point. So like right when Google Ads was introduced, he was one of the first people to actually join the platform and start doing it and then eventually created a whole agency around it. And I remember there was this forum and I would just go in and be like, I've tried this, this, and this, and something doesn't seem right. So I'm like, can someone answer? Like, can someone help me diagnose this? And I remember meeting him actually in California, so in Silicon Valley, well, when I got flown out there. And I remember him looking at my boss and going, the reason why she's going to be amazing is because of this. because she tries before she asks the question. She gives, like, she puts in the effort before she throws in, like, the towel, in a sense. Like, it was it wasn't, oh, I can't figure it out, no, I need to go ask somebody. It's, no, I've tried to figure it out, I still don't know what it is. There's a gap in my learning. Now I need somebody to fill that gap. And that was something that I remember. I've taken that with me everywhere I've gone, because I was like, that was something that I didn't even realize I was doing, actually, ever. And that's something that I appreciate about people as well, is when they come to me with questions, they're like, I've tried this, this, and this. And I'm like, I want to sit here for hours and help you. But when somebody comes in and they're like, I haven't tried anything, then I'm like, please get out of my face. Like, I don't, what's the point? I'm like, you're taking the easy route out. You're not doing anything for your own education, your own, like, skill set. You're just asking for questions and answers, and that's the end of it. So for me, I think it's really just trying and failing, but then also asking the questions and being like, not being afraid to say that you failed, because I don't think failure is, like, actually as bad as everybody thinks it is. I think it's a learning opportunity. And how else are you supposed to learn if you don't make mistakes and all of that great stuff? So my mistakes are exactly why I'm the marketer I am today. So I'm thankful for them. So yeah, try and fail and then ask questions.
That's awesome. I love it. Love it. And I always talk about how failure is a step towards learning, you know, success. So anything you would like to support, promote on for our audiences?
I guess if you're interested in learning more about Google Ads, then my Instagram page is a really great one. So that's AdWordsGirl. I also am on Twitter. I don't really talk about ads a lot on Twitter. It's just random thoughts sometimes here and there, and then mainly just dumb tweets. So if you want a decent laugh here and there, that might be a good place for you. And then our website is hopskipmedia.com. So if you're looking for a PPC agency and you want to work with someone who literally is not trying to swindle you out of thousands and thousands of dollars, we are the people for you. So yeah, that's kind of really it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for this wonderful, inspiring conversation. And thank you for being on this show. I love it.
Thank you for having me.